Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, he's back. He's in the van. He's outside the front of the house. Yes. Still in dispute with the wife. Won't let me back on the dining room table. So the van is here at 300 megabits a second. And after today's performance, anyone writes an email giving a shit over streaming can piss right off. Yeah. Microsoft, come and learn from us. Learn from us. Joining me, fantastic team, absolutely brilliant. Starting us off, top left, Patrice. How the devil are you, missus?
Doing very well. It's been a really cool. Atlee is just showing up, by the way.
Yes.
It's been really a really cool week. And yeah, I'm ready for the show, and I'm ready for the weekend, to be honest.
Now Atlee's picture's turned up, but that looks like the cord that he uses to strangle his victims with.
Fine with that. If the screen then hits with that, you see then a blood spray across the screen. Quickly cut.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Stop recording. Oh shit! Mounted police inbound. Are you well, Mrs.?
Yeah, I'm doing actually pretty well. I mean, it's been a really, really like hot and humid week. A lot of storms here, and apparently a lot of damage. I've heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've had a bit of thunder.
Yeah. I mean, basically all week, and in Austria, like they said something about like 100, 150 million euros in damages.
God. So far. Okay.
So it's been fun. But no, I mean, it's fine. Like it's
all that humidity for the high lakes.
Yeah, it's definitely the humidity, the temperatures as well. Like it's...
And people singing songs about the flowers in the local area.
Maybe that's true, yeah.
So long, farewell. Yeah. Next to him, Muller, how are you doing?
Hello. Oi!
All right, mate. Still not tidy that room then?
No. We're tidying the back room at the moment. I found loads of stuff in there.
Could you do me one favour? And you don't need to tidy the whole thing. I'm not bothered, but could you straighten that frigging rug at the back, dude? Because it's pissing me off no end.
What rug?
Oh, my OCD. What rug? The one on the wall. That is all. That, mate, that's got a real... I can't do.
Oh, I think that might be the camera, not the rug.
No, trust me. That's the rug. Look, tilt up. Tilt up and you see the roof.
Yeah, it's definitely that rug.
No, no, no.
Just tilt the camera.
Show me the line of the roof. Tilt it up. Show me the line of the roof.
Oh, God.
No, that's down, you twat. There you go. See, that's nowhere near. It's not even centered. That's even worse now. Now I know it's not centered. That's, oh, jeez.
That cost me, I don't know, how many euro. I got it from Turkey. It's a silk rug.
You'd think that if it came all the way from Turkey, you'd put a little more care putting it up.
Exactly.
I carried it from Turkey.
I love that Ewan is transporting a victim in the back of his van still.
No. Don't deflect. You're not deflecting from your own crimes, mate. I'm not having it. All set for the bash, Muller?
Yeah. And awesome. I think I've got my bike back. Well, I got the other bike back. So bravo. Two bikes, but. The motor came from Germany. It arrived yesterday morning. No, the morning before that. Yesterday. Anyway, I rode it yesterday as well, and the day before.
The bash is the last week in July. It's the last full weekend in July. I think it's 25th or something like that. So if you want to come, get in touch with Batwench or me, and we'll see if you can come or not. But it is limited because it's going to be at the house, because obviously with the COVID restrictions, we can't book the local residents. So we're going to do it just here. So 30 people tops is the limit, providing Boris says we can. If he says we can't, then I'm sorry, it's off.
If we invite Atlee, the straddlers will get done.
Next to Muller, Rich, how you doing, buddy?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
How's the Yorkshire?
It's all right. It's a bit close, as they say.
That's what Patrice was saying earlier on, but that's clearly not a word in German.
No, I don't even know what it means in English. It's close.
Close. It means like the air's chewy.
It is. It means we're all a bit sticky.
No, it means like someone spat the air out and you're chewing their spat out air. That's what it
means. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I think that's close. Yeah. I get that.
Seems fair enough. And now I'm just fixated on that damn rug.
Yeah, see?
Is there a way I can turn off someone else's camera in Zoom?
Mate, can you visually mute them? Dude, if we're talking about Muller's camera, it's not the frigging rug that's the problem.
Oh, he's moving it. He's moving it. He's coming down.
Taking it the fuck down.
Thank God.
You know what? You know what that does now, though, that it leaves that other goddamn thing in the middle of the wall that looks way off center now.
No, it's fine. Don't tell me because I'm not seeing it. Beneath these, Granty, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing good, mate. I'm doing good. I'm here with you.
What's been happening this week?
I'm doing
good.
Me, usual, sat here doing work. Ryan reports today, so it's been a quiet day. So it's quite nice to talk to people. Otherwise, normally I've had headset on and I'm fixing things. Lightning strikes have affected us. We've had one of our hospital customers, they had an outage because of lightning strike. That's caused them a bit of aggravation. Okay. We've had to help them sort it out.
We've now no thunder and lightning here in Birmingham. There's been nothing.
That was down in Essex. But yeah.
Looking a bit dark at the moment.
Well, yeah, it is black over Bill's mother's from what I can see out the back here. I do have a view through my van at the front of the mobile operations centre.
Mm-hmm. Makes that sound convincing.
I freaking love this park. I got to say, I went down to the office today and there was nowhere to park. I had to park in the road and just block everyone in and be done with it. I went in, fed the fish, cleaned the water, and then I left. And it was just like heaven to leave. I just can't stand it down there anymore. So on the day of the bash, we will be doing a Mac show from the van. There will be 15 people in the back of this van.
Why don't you just do it for the garden?
Oh, shut up. That's no fun. I probably will do it from the van, but now you've let the cat out of the bag because
It's
more fun to say there's going to be 15 people in my van.
Slide door should be all right.
Oh, exactly.
Well, I got slide. Got slide.
Yeah, that's fine. You've got some ventilation. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I can get.
Can we take the roof off?
At least you have the right people there to make it a clown car.
I've got an angle grinder. We could take the roof off.
Extend the roof.
Are you off your face, Muller? Jesus, how much? What percentage is that beer, Moretti?
It's 5%, I think.
And last but by no means least, the man whose beard has grown significantly, Atlee Hunter.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Good.
Very busy. Very busy.
Yeah. Good. That's nice.
Yeah, it is. As long as you manage to get some sleep.
I spent last year being decidedly unbusy, so busy now is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
We like that.
It's good.
Which one of these ZZ Top are you?
The only one that didn't have a beard.
That's okay. You grow your beard out, you can be ZZ Bottom.
I'm sorry, just for the sake of clarity, which song were you singing then? Because that's not like Got Legs. That's not.
I can't remember them all now. It's been a long time.
Based on that,
not even the right band.
You can't remember any of them.
Sharp Dressed Man.
This is one, I think it's a 90s music video with like a guy from Switzerland that like literally just says, aber Vorsicht, it's cool, man. It looks exactly like Atlee. I have to find the video.
Find the video, post it in the link. That can be your pick of the week, mate.
It's like Milka Chocolate or something. Like
Atlee needs to change his name to Billy Gibbons.
If I've got host privileges, I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you got any sunglasses you can put on? Because Billy Gibbons always wore sunglasses.
I just have to go outside. These turn into sunglasses.
Hang on. This is going to be better.
And then
Billy Gibbons'
Grant
brother.
Should be Frank Beard. Change Ian Grant to Frank Beard.
No, the one that was called Beard didn't have a beard. That was the whole joke.
Yeah. Okay, Dusty Hill then.
So Rich should be Beard.
Yeah.
If the bottom three are ZZ Top, then Rich should be the guy called Beard.
And Ian Grant can be Dusty Hill.
Yeah.
Patricia's posted the link. If you want to watch the video of the German who looks like Atlee singing a song, I'm Cool, then go to britishjetnetwork.com/chat. And you can enjoy it to your heart's content because I'm sure it's an absolute classic based on the fact that David Hasselhoff is still number one in Germany. And the mullet is a trend.
It is.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. I've worked in Germany no end, mate, and I promise you it is. Unbelievable. Stonewashed jeans just hitting the market. Yeah. Mm.
So they got. They finally got to the 90s, eh?
Oh, the 80s.
They're back.
Yeah, no, they're right 90s are back, the 90s. Man.
The 90s are, if you see some of the things my kids are wearing, the 90s are back.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, they went to, I mean, we do the, over here, there's kilo
over
sales.
Over here, Yorkshire's in the UK. Over here. Yorkshire's up there.
Up there. Over up here. There.
Yonder. Over here suggests there's water between you and me and there isn't.
No, there is between Patrice and me and others here.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but we have this kilo sales. So you can go and buy old clothes, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like a modern jumper sale, really, in essence. And we have them here. And my 15 and my 17-year-old go there and get stuff and come back with shell suits from the 90s. You know, the red and the turquoise and the crinkly noise and everything else. You're going to wear that? That's
terrible.
You're going to wear that? Yeah, that's cool. This is cool. Fuck off.
Oh, yeah, I've got to make it explicit now. Oh, man.
Sorry.
You know, the good thing about those crinkly tracksuits, if we wore them today, we could charge our phones off them.
The static, yes.
Yeah, but don't stand near a candle.
Yeah, don't stand near anything hot. You'll melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Touch people in the face and get...
Incendiary device, but living, oh dear, dear.
The week in tech, all the big stories that have happened, and Microsoft did a keynote a few hours ago. So I'm bagsying that someone's going to go for something to do with Windows 11, which allegedly looks really nice. But first story goes to Atlee's in because I mean, you're the man that does our Windows show.
I was going to crack
The Windows show is about as functional as the keynote stream was today.
My grandmother's been dead since 1981, mate. She's more functional than your show. So come on, mate. Talk us through the Windows 11 taskbar.
Well, no. So it's actually, no, that's just part of it's just sort of where it's going to be integrated. What they're going to be doing is they're building Teams right into Windows. So what I'm wondering about now is, are they going to end up putting themselves back in the whole problem with the antitrust suits and everything else, because they're integrating basically the Zoom competitor directly into Windows. Right. So they're saying they're doing this because of Apple putting FaceTime on other platforms and trying to make it accessible everywhere. So they're saying, OK, well, we're going to do this. Fair game. We'll do this where we have the ability to do video calling and voice calling.
We're
and messaging
not an Apple
all
show, time. But I've got to ask the question. Do we honestly feel that Apple think about the way that FaceTime's working being competitor for the corporate market or strictly focused on the domestic market? Because I got the definite impression that it was domestic.
I agree. It's a domestic thing. But the thing is, Teams has now got a domestic side as well.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a corporate ID to start up a Teams group. You can actually just sign in with your regular Microsoft ID, the same one you sign into Windows with. And now you have Teams on your computer and you can invite people to chat as long as they have Teams on their computer. So it's they look like they're trying to make a similar play. Now, will they do it well? Probably not, because Teams will not be the same experience as FaceTime. It won't be the same functionality. It won't offer the same things. It'll offer some different things. Some of the things will be better. Some of the things will be worse. The UI will probably be worse. The thing that is more worrisome for me is, are they going to be butting up against trying to be seen as squashing out or trying to squash out things like Zoom and other competitors on these video streams?
Can they? I mean, I would say that in terms of the maybe corporates, that you would say that Teams have the advantage, but in terms of the lockdown communication, actually, I would have said that Zoom has the edge.
Yeah, Zoom definitely has the biggest market share, but Microsoft has a big advantage that they have a lot of Office 365 customers or Microsoft 365.
Yeah.
Well, and also by building
Teams more and more the thing to use, because everybody has Office 365. It means I don't have to ask someone to install some application. We use, one of our other products is we use Ring Central, but it's getting to be almost pointless in as much as almost everyone wants to use Teams because they've already got it. But so integrating it into the OS, I can't
see. So the work I'm doing tomorrow is to actually run a Teams meeting with someone. And I've made the joke about the fact that I don't like Teams. And I don't particularly, I do find it more comfortable in Zoom, but that's just like me playing a piano that's got all the keys in the right order as opposed to all the keys in the wrong order. What I would say, though, is that Teams, if you're signed in to a main account on Teams and you're the admin for the presentation, it's very good. If you're not, it's holy shit bad. I mean, it is awful.
Just
things like a PowerPoint presentation. If you're signed in and you do the browse function, then you can hand off the ability to let other people watch it and to control it. That's great. But if you're not, you get nothing. And if you show something else that's from another, like Keynote, doesn't function at all in Teams. It didn't do virtual cameras, but if you signed in as admin, it does do virtual cameras. And that stuff just makes me think you've got to be ubiquitous in this market. People are not going to be happy about lockdown services. Sorry, Rich, go ahead, mate.
I just find it actually a little bit sad and depressing that in the middle of 2021, we're having a discussion about a major company's move in video chat, right?
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this? How long
has Microsoft been doing this?
Nothing new here. We're talking about they've come up with another name for the same thing we've been doing for years and rearranged where the buttons are on the screen.
The first time I did the Skype wall, Rich, you were on it the first time.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's not about whether they're doing video chat. It's about the fact that they're trying to grab market share by integrating it directly into Windows and having it be the thing that's already there. As we know that in a lot of cases, it will end up being
Do you know what they're not doing? There's only one company that is doing this, and it's Apple, right? So for video chat and an internet voice chat and messaging, they have messages. Right, that's what they have, and messages is on all of their platforms, and that's all they've ever had since they've been doing this. Microsoft, what do Microsoft have? What do Google have in terms of video chat and stuff and products? We could sit and list these things all night, and this is just another one. And I'm no more excited about this than anything else ever, because honestly, this is like their messaging play for the next 6 months until they rename it and make it a different thing. and the same goes for everybody else's except Apple, which will just be messages.
Well, that's not true. I mean, Apple has FaceTime and Apple is expanding FaceTime. So
You're right. I've sort of always felt like they're part of the same sort of entity. I know, but you're right, they are, you go into them different ways.
How different is this from right clicking the icon and going to keep in dock?
It's not
There we go.
It's not, and I fail to see why there's an antitrust issue with, I make a product that does video chat. Video chat is now very popular because everyone does home working. Why wouldn't I include it in my operating system so my customers,
the same reason
when they have it all installed, they can just click on the service that's there already. They've already got integration to it because they'll have a Microsoft account, so therefore they'll have access to it. It makes perfect sense, and it's no different to what my good friends at Apple do with the one machine I'm sat on here. I've got FaceTime and I've got messages which are hooked up to my my iCloud account. That's no different.
Seem to get treated differently when it's Microsoft. They're the same ones that got prosecuted for having Internet Explorer built into Windows because
that was a million years ago. We've moved on since then.
No, I think that's a good point. I think
the
Internet Explorer issue was when Internet Explorer was the default in the largest platform in the world, and it gave you no further options. That's a different thing entirely, because we're beyond that now. Because I mean, even
that's a million years ago.
My mother knows the word Firefox.
So maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is that this is a non-issue then, because they're no longer the dominant computing platform. Maybe because of that, they don't hit
Who's calling that, this an antitrust issue, though? Because I don't think it is an antitrust issue.
There's been a fair bit of talk in a couple of different spaces about the fact that now are companies like Zoom and other corporations going to start seeing this as an anti-competitive play? And are they going to, you know, is this going to start up a whole big problem again for Microsoft?
But isn't that the point of business, though? I've got a better product than you. I'm going to make it some front and center. I'm going to knock all my competition out of the market by having the one thing, whatever the one thing
it
happens
is,
to be.
As long as you then don't exclude. So the thing is, while it's a separated app, then it has an opportunity to be competed against. But where it's included in the OS, then it's there by default. Then people, it is a browser-based issue. I do get that.
I kind of see, but I can install Zoom and I can install whatever other platform I need to go.
No, it's not about I can install. It's about it's there by default, so I'm not choosing because it's there by default. That was the issue with Internet Explorer.
Of course it was. Yeah, you're a million.
And it'll be how they handle all of the additions to it, how they handle all of the way the operating system treats requests for things like video calling, treats requests for messages, because if they'd everything does default. Even now, you could have everything set. You could have Chrome installed on Windows. You could have everything else set. But then you do a search in Cortana and it opens up Bing. Right? You have no choice. And I mean, if, as long as they don't handle it like that, then hopefully they can avoid any anti-competition issues.
And I mean, Microsoft might not be the dominant computing platform in the world anymore because there's so many devices. But on the desktop side, they still have, 80% market share or something.
Yeah, a little higher than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's closer to like 91.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. So that is a pretty significant power that they have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's still a in that space, in that particular space, they are the dominant.
I think the key separation here is the fact that they're going to integrate it in the OS. That's what's going to get in trouble with the EU. If they'd left it as a standalone application, there wouldn't be an issue. But they're going to see it, regardless of the fact that Zoom is taking the bigger market share, they're still going to see it as an issue.
As long as there's an uninstall button for it, surely they'll be all right. Or you'll end up with Windows N and all the other cobblers they had to make to save face on that one before, because that's what they did. There's a version of Windows called Windows N that doesn't have a browser in it. And then you can install your own.
No. I always wonder how you get to a browser. How do you get to install a browser with no browser?
No, it's interesting, Alan.
I need my AOL CD.
It's aimed at
CDs in the supermarket. How do you do it?
Oh, it's one of those things. It's aimed at
Braille.
Corporate install market, so they'll just use SCCM or some other cobblers to push the software out to it. It won't matter.
I just love the fact that I'm going to go over to Tesco's tomorrow and there's going to be a CD-ROM there with Teams,
AOL.
Microsoft Teams written on it.
No, nowadays it'll have to be a memory stick, because who the hell has a CD-ROM?
And I'll make it into a fly curtain that goes over the back door and my wife will get mad.
A CD-ROM on my computer, and I've got an Apple one here.
Oh, nice.
You can't see it, can you? And that's an Apple one.
No, that's a Super Drive. That's not a CD-ROM. Oh, no. That's a different.
It's a CD-ROM. It plays CDs.
Drive.
And
it's a Super Drive. It only works with one type of computer, and it's special.
Is it super?
Is it bollocks? It'll plug into a Windows machine.
I've got that second hand from CEX for £8.
That's because it doesn't work with anything else.
Oh, no, it does. That's true, but it plays Blu-rays, which is quite interesting.
Because it's a super drive.
Super drive.
Sadly, for Rich, Ian put the next one in, which is the death of John McAfee.
Yeah.
No, McAfee, McAfee, my Irish heritage will kill me.
Yeah, Mr. McAfee. Mr. McAfee, indeed. Oh, yes. The probably the most one of the most controversial figures in IT, if ever there was one. Owner of the company that built the first sort of antivirus platform, really. Did loads of, I named the company after himself, obviously did loads of interesting things. And then he turned into some mad playboy back in about 80s, I think, once the money got. And he said kind of a mixed bag of fun. I mean, he was almost a politician. He was, I don't know if he was a murderer or not. No one will ever know now.
Yeah,
and they found him dead this morning in a Guatemalan prison because he was
Spanish
prison. Yeah, he was about to be deported to answer to his crimes, I believe, and they found him dead. Sadly, I mean, he's a British guy, by the way, Mr. McAfee. Morning, Gloucester.
Not an uncontroversial figure, to be honest.
No, it was always interesting to see what the mad bugger was up to this time, because it was always always something strange and going on with it.
You can't say that.
What?
No. He's a mad bugger.
Well, he was, though. I mean, there's a series of mental health issues around this. And I put this morning in the chat room and I reported this. I did say, I think this is really sad that this has happened, because there's a significant issue with mental illness around this guy. And I think he should have been treated kinder, potentially. If he's done wrong, he's done wrong. If he's killed this guy, then fair enough. But I think he was pilloried, and the mental issues were brushed under the carpet as the fact that he was just this guy who was a bit off his tree and he did what he did. And whether that was drug related or not, who knows?
That was what people said. He was always perpetually drugged up in some manner or another. Yeah. I mean, the end line of the article that I've popped in the chat says there, he was also a complex and erratic man whose colourful life was pockmarked with dark twists and acts of self-destruction. So it's kind of one of those things. Flame burns brightly, burns short, you know, and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Very, very interesting character, though.
Absolutely. He had that unfortunate set of mental health problems that put him into the... People react differently to different types of mental health problems, which is a problem. But yeah. I get it to a certain extent. And he fell into the sort of doing crazy, what's he going to do next stuff that is somewhat entertaining en masse and easily dismissible as a mental health thing. Like, we can ignore that. He just does crazy stuff. Oh, he's got guns and women on his private island and all this. Oh, hey, look at him. But yeah, it's his behavior has clearly been the result of severe problems. Like, really severe problems for a long time. But I
think one of the key parts of that sentence that you just made is private island.
He can just sort of take himself away. And I mean, I suppose that's the problem of having that many problems and a big pile of money.
It's definitely, yeah, exactly. It's definitely the old adage of the fact that you've got to find yourself before fame finds you. Because if fame finds you first, you're screwed. And that is absolutely the case. And that terms that applies to wealth. If you look at the billionaires, you know, the billionaires that have suffered and strived hard to promote their service and tried hard to get their product out onto the market, and then, you know, they've hit their mid-40s and then all of a sudden they're a billionaire. They can cope with it because they've worked out who they are as a person. And I know he wasn't particularly young, but he wasn't particularly old when he started to discover the fact that he'd got some money in the bank. And that ability to buy a private island when you've really not had a proper job for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's also that thing for him of
Elon Musk, anybody?
Yeah.
Well, no, Elon's. I think Elon's on that spectrum. I think you're absolutely right. I think you're dead right there. He's so young enough that he's got to be very careful that there's got to be someone whispering on his shoulder, "You're just a man. You're just a man."
He made his first mil, like, I think even a billion or like a couple hundred millions in the 90s. So when he was like somewhere in his early 20s or like mid 20s, maybe. So
it's going
to
be.
I know damn well if I'd have got to that kind of stage and that kind of wealth at that kind of era in my life, I would be an entirely different person now if I was still alive, and I probably wouldn't be.
Hey, I think it's touch and go for me now, let alone.
Careful, if rich gets rich. You know,
have you made your first tenner yet?
Not really. I'm a long way off.
Oh, dear.
It is. That kind of influence is corrupting. Most definitely.
I mean, you've only got to look back to people like Howard Hughes. I mean, genius.
He ended up
on top of paranoid.
He wasn't just about wealth. I mean, if you believe the film, he was quite badly abused.
At an early age.
So I think there was probably a little bit going on more than that.
Yeah, he wasn't.
It's just one of those things. If you've got mental health problems and enough money, then people will still listen to you, and some of them will think you're fine, and eventually you become president of the United States.
No, moving on. I love the fact that Atlee's not taking part in this conversation because Windows has no virus issues whatsoever. So therefore,
Have we done all of Windows 11, or were we? Was that just that thing?
No, because we can do more. The entire thing that they did about Windows 11 was just the fact it looks different and they've included Teams.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, really? Okay. No. surprised me.
No.
You can also run Android apps, by the way.
Yeah, there's Android apps. And also Xbox. And also about the games.
It'll do automatic HDR recalculation of imaging to make images look much better at a faster frame rate on just about any machine.
And a new app store.
The old one that was a bag of spanners already.
The app store, the big thing about the app store is that in order to help developers, Microsoft will no longer be taking any money from any of the...
That was a crazy shot at Apple that just came out of nowhere. When we just thought, this Windows looks nice. And then they're like,
did I steal your thing?
Oh, you did. Yeah, I put it in the Slack room. They just shat on Apple.
Okay. Yeah.
Bring your own payment system to our store and we won't take any of your money.
We won't steal your money.
Yeah.
Not talking about anyone in particular who might do that. Just we won't. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only thing I can't let go from that presentation was how they decided to have it anchored by somebody doing an improvised dramatic performance about their life and computers in it. And I have to tell you about all these things and what they mean and how they mean things. And they bring us closer together. And shut up, mate. Come on. Have you seen an Apple Pro? Just read the words, you know?
Yeah.
The thing is,
no one cares about your mum.
No, there is Windows does suffer from that ability to. I mean, I've got computers down at the office. I have collected Apple computers over the years, and I've got a Mac SE that is a prototype. There's no serial number on it. God knows how much that's worth. One of only five. I've got
filing the serial number off of a computer when you take it doesn't make it.
No, it's not. It's not. There is no. There's a blank.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm just teasing you.
I've got my original Bondi Blue G3. I've got the. I've got my Sunflower Mac. I've got an iMac with a metal screen. I've got a metal Mac with the polypropylene screen. The G5. There isn't that kind of historical value within the Windows market, is there? I've got my Texas Instruments laptop in the loft that I had 20 years ago.
I totally disagree, because I've got a computer here that's gone through four rebuilds, and there's parts in there that's still from the original computer. Because they
you talking about the one I sold you?
That was like three
years ago.
No, that's gone. But the power supply I replaced. That's gone through three iterations.
You've got the same floppy drive and the same CD-ROM in it, though.
Exactly,
you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the CD-ROM's the same, yeah. I gave most of your computer to IMM Max to give away.
What's concurrent with what I originally told you? The case?
Nothing. No, that got rid of that straight. That day one.
All right, there we go.
That's maybe like a
case.
The case are the same ones. They've been coming along with the whole thing.
Hey, it's a broom. It's Trigger's broom.
It really is Trigger's broom.
Yes.
For those of you listening who want to know what Trigger's broom is, you need to go on YouTube, and it's Only Foods and Horses Trigger's broom. Bob Beecher said in the chat room, I used to use McAfee antivirus way back when, until Microsoft developed their own. So that's 2010.
Mm. Didn't Intel buy McAfee?
Yeah.
I think they did.
Yeah. And took his name off it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's still called McAfee. Corporately, it's still
McAfee antivirus. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, corporately. I mean, loads of my customers will still use McAfee as their AV of choice.
I always preferred it to, was it Symantec?
Mm-hmm.
Norton's awful.
Norton used to be like herpes.
Yeah,
you couldn't. I mean, they've got better now, but you couldn't get it off your system once you put it on.
Yeah, when it was kind of pre-installed in your machine, I mean, you were better off just completely wiping it.
Just format start again.
That was the thing. Restart, rebuild it.
Herpes for your Windows machine from 2000.
I remember that Norton disk defragger was the way I basically fell asleep every night for years. In the Windows 3.1 to Windows 95 days.
Oh, I remember that.
I love the fact that the question from Rich was, have we really covered the Windows 11 launch fully enough? And we're still back talking about antivirus now because we really don't give a shit.
I mean,
including the Windows bloke who does the Windows show.
No, realistically, we did talk about most of the points. The big points were about.
Oh, that really was just it. Yeah,
we forgot about this.
There really wasn't a lot. It was mostly.
I don't feel like I missed out.
They forgot about this new feature called widgets.
Well, yeah,
really?
I was quite blown away.
Never been used on computing before.
Yeah, they did say this brand new feature called widgets, and they look quite. I've never seen
like
anything.
They've taken over the Apple thing. They've taken over the Apple tradition of inventing things.
I got to take issue with the taken over bit. Inventing shit that someone's already invented.
Yeah. That's the that is the Apple stake.
Muller's story, NASA probes computer outage.
That's my
Hubble.
Story.
Oh, that's your Patrice's that's story. Whoa! Hang on, I'll edit. Patrice's story. Yeah. NASA can't figure out what's causing computer issues on the telescope.
Yeah, so, I mean, you remember the last time you had an issue with your machine or you couldn't figure out what it is? And now imagine it's like, what is that, 400 miles above the Earth or something? It's pretty far. Just imagine trying to figure out what's wrong with your computer that is somewhere out there in space. And that's the problem NASA is having right now.
Oh, and they just got to turn it off and back on again.
Yeah, they've tried that. They're like, it's the computer that basically does all the scientific stuff.
You know what it could be? You know what it could be? It could be waiting for a reboot after an update from Microsoft.
No, that's possible.
I just love the fact that on Hubble, 400 miles above the Earth, and life-risking journey to get to it, there's actually something that requires a pin to just push in and go reset.
Oh no, what it'll be the classic, it'll have rebooted and it sat there, there will be that thing on the screen which says press F1 to continue. Someone's gonna have to get in a rocket, go up there, go click, can I come home now?
Well, no, I mean, I think there's the story really itself is the fact that
can we get a Martian to do it?
No, the fact that Hubble is probably at end of life anyway. The you know, they're just milking it now for what it's worth because there was only 20 years worth of it up there, but there really is no vehicle that can go up there and maintain it because that was the beauty of the space shuttle. Not only could it take it up there, but it could go up and it could dock or it could orbit with it. But if you look at Dragon, if you look at Soyuz and any of those kind of things, there is no vehicle that can go up and maintain the Hubble. It is done and dusted. If they can't get it working, I'm sorry, it's got to boost it out to space or bring it down to Earth.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably figure out a way to do it, but as you said, there is no easy way to do it. Like, there is no space shuttle with, like a cargo space that you can open up and just pull the thing in and repair it.
It was built in the 80s and launched in the 90s. Jesus, that will be old-fashioned.
It will be
a keyboard thing with an F1 to continue. Yeah.
No, you know it is
going to be a press and F1 to continue.
No, there's a flashing light just saying corrupted RAM disk.
Please reset. Press any key to park the disks.
Yeah.
Actually, that's
one. I don't think so. I think its floppy disk has probably turned to sludge.
In space, possible. No, actually, it's one of the options they're investigating that one of that the memory is simply going.
In space, no one can hear your reboot.
Because it went up with 32K.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It would have been something like that. It really would have been.
Yeah.
When's the James Webb launching? Because that's its replacement, isn't it?
I think at least a couple of years still. like 20, what was it, 20, 24 or something?
Because I know that some of it's been built in just outside London.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the Hubble telescope is kind of like my van. It's quite old, but it still does a good enough job. But it's going to cost you £850 to get it through the MOT.
No, Ewan, no. The Hubble is like your van. It was measured in inches and made by a metrics, made in metric sizes. So.
No. I think it was, actually. I think it was. Well, when you get up there, Muller, see if you don't take a metric-only set. I'd take an imperial set with you.
Do you know why Americans should need an imperial set? Yeah. They won't do millimetres. It'll all be inches. It'll be feet and inches.
And if you'd like to see Muller, see if he can hold his breath for that long, then it's nasa.gov.us/MullerHoldingHisBreath.com. That's going to get really a lot of subscriptions.
www.willmullermakeit.
willmullermakeit.com. And if you'd like to buy their website, you can do it on tsohost.com. Yeah, absolutely. Site the offer code BTN50, because actually that website would be well worth buying.
That'll break the internet.
Yeah, no, I think sadly this is the demise of the Hubble, which is really sad because we could have got another 5 or 10 years out of it.
The thing is, the telescope itself still works because that is a separate computer system. It's just like some extra sensors that don't work anymore. So the output is not as useful anymore, but they can still work.
They still get the imaging.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe they can fix it. Like, they simply, as I said, it is very difficult. Like they said, if they had it down, like, on Earth, they would just go all over it and just check every pin and everything and just figure out what's wrong. But since it's like all they can do is send like a set of commands up and try to figure out what's wrong.
Fix it.
God. MullerContracting.com. NASA, if you're listening, go to MullerContracting.com and Muller says he can sort it for you. Probably by holding his breath.
Go to imendhubbles.com.
Which you can buy on tsohost.com.
Oh, yes. imendhubbles.
imendhubbles. There we go. Someone check if that's available. China to shut down over 90% of its Bitcoin capacity, says Muller.
Yeah. Apparently, they've not only done that, but they've saved over 8 gigawatts. I think that's apparently, well, Ewan's gone. That's equivalent to 2 to 4 nuclear plants and a couple of large hydro dams. So also the knock-on effect is that graphics cards are coming down in price again.
I was just going to say, does this mean I can buy a damn graphics card now?
They've come down by about 50%, but not yet. But I'm wondering if China keeps this up, whether a lot of secondhand cards are going to come flying onto the market.
Quite possibly.
So I think, I don't know why China's done this. Maybe it's because of the amount of CO2 they're emitting, and it's an easy way for them to at least hit a couple of the goals for themselves without actually saying anything. But I'm the wrong story there.
I can't imagine that China likes Bitcoin very much. Like it's something that they don't control, so I'm not sure they like it.
Hasn't there just been a big crash?
Yeah, because I mean,
because of this.
So how do I know that? Dear God,
I don't know.
That's such a.
Yeah, Bob Beach is saying, and then the price has plummeted. That's what you call a stable asset. Yep, exactly. Something that loses, like, I don't know, 50% of the value overnight. Very stable.
If you look at the picture, look how many graphics cards and PCs are going there. It must have been roasting in that room.
Yeah.
Hey,
I mean, use some aircon to keep that cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact is, I think, I don't know if it's China couldn't keep up with the load on their electricity grid as well, because to save that amount of power, how much was it again? You go back 8 gigawatts. I mean, I can't even imagine how much.
Is this because Elon stopped taking it as a payment for Teslas, though?
No, I don't think so.
All the Chinese entrepreneurs are obsessed with buying Teslas.
Yeah, no. There was a drop after he announced that, but I think the big one is China.
The graphics card issue is definitely real, because when Kira built his PC, we went online to get all his components, and buying a 6 gig graphics card was nigh on impossible.
I think it's, from what I've seen on Twitter, still impossible.
Yeah,
you can get them because I got one. I was very insistent and got one. But I got
a premium for it. You probably didn't get the cheapest one available.
It cost me £260, which wasn't too bad. But the thing is, I got rid of a 970, which only cost me about £300 spent 5 or 6 years ago, and I got £130 for it on CX. So I only paid £130 for it. Goddamn Reddit. What?
Thanks, Atlee.
The thing is that I was in CEX today as well, and the other day, and they had a 3 series in there for over £1,000. I think it was near £1,200 actually. And I was thinking, who's going to buy that?
There's an RTX 3090 on Amazon now for £2,375, which is about £700-800 over recommended retail price for the top of the range card as it is. Or you can get a 3070 for $1,000, and I think they're meant to be about £400.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, can you imagine that the Chinese will be plonking these on the market if their government is going to insist on this?
You've got to love Amazon. You type in 6 gigabyte graphics card, and the first return is a 4 gigabyte graphics card.
It's because buddy, I haven't got any.
Bravo. No, it's because someone paid for that link.
Yeah,
absolutely.
At the moment, if you want a graphics card, you're better off buying a pre-built system.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking £500 for a 6 gig graphics card at best.
If you buy a £2,000 computer, you can pull out the graphics card out of it, put your old one in, and sell that, and you'll get your money back on that.
Yeah.
Dear God, CEX is selling RTX 3080s for £1,700.
I've seen in two CEXs, 3 series cards for that, well, not quite that much, but for £1,200 plus. There's one in my local one. I was in Solihull Hall today. And there was one in there as well for well over £1,000. I don't think it was a 390. I think it was a 370.
You're into overpriced graphic cards. You're loving this show.
Right.
I'm
so glad I don't do whatever.
You two can get your anoraks, and we'll have the next story then, please.
What story is that?
There isn't one.
Yeah. Oh, I sort of have one because I'm struggling because I had both Windows and John McAfee.
Well, that was silly.
So the Steam summer sale has started.
Whoop!
It's time to go and spend lots of money on games that you're not sure whether you quite want or not, but it's only £3, so get it.
All platforms, of course.
Of course. Works on the Mac as well. There are games for that. They just don't work very fast.
No.
But... yeah, it's the Steam Summer Sale. I don't have much more to say about that. The news is that it's happening, and if that's a good or a bad thing depends on what you want from your computer and that sort of thing. But hey, yeah, cheap games, it's always good. But, you know.
I use Steam to try Hitman, the one that they've got that's just won the award. The last iteration, and it ran smooth as silk on my laptop, on my MacBook, I have to say. It's very, very good.
Yeah, the Steam's good. And there are lots more things coming out for the Mac. I'm always surprised when I open it up on the Mac and select it to just show me Mac games, how many there are. And it's a big chunk of them. Certainly not by any means all of them, but there's enough there to be going with.
They don't work on all Macs, though, unfortunately, as I found out.
There's been a couple of things. I mean, you've got graphical things, but also a lot of, especially older games, didn't make the 32 to 64 bit transition.
I had Civ on the Mac.
Yeah, Civ 5.
It used to make my Mac, the one I sold to Greeny, absolutely burn up. It was absolutely, you could have run a radiator off the back of it.
Yeah, you need some power for that one.
Yeah, if you look at the PC specs for it, it's quite low down.
Mm.
You don't need an awful lot of power for it.
Some of the Mac versions of games run not quite under emulation, but are you familiar with Wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And so there is a layer between them and the operating system. I get the feeling it's not as bad now as it used to be, especially with people making games for iOS and then just porting them over onto macOS. That's not as big a deal, obviously, but
Wine is quite common in for games and on the Mac.
Yeah, so the sort of PC level games have historically just never quite done as well on the Mac.
I think it's because the graphics cards in Macs, you can't upgrade them, and they're usually quite poor anyway.
It depended really on the machine you had. You even today you can buy, not the M1 Macs because they don't have dedicated graphics cards, but the older MacBook Pros or the bigger Big Mac.
I always bought the higher end graphics cards. It always made a difference.
Yeah, I mean they
yeah, but they were never the top ones.
Graphics cards, but they have quite decent graphics cards. But it doesn't help if the entire thing has to run through an emulation layer first.
It's not going to make any better, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, my iMac had a Radeon something. I can't remember which Radeon it had. And my MacBook Pro I had years ago, the first one, that had a graphics card in it and actually blew up and Apple replaced the board for me, which is quite nice then.
That was a common fault with some versions or another of the iMac, wasn't it? The video cards were all popping on them.
It was NVIDIA. They stopped selling them, didn't they? Yeah. They went to Radeon.
NVIDIA cards in the MacBooks, the 2011 MacBooks, for example.
And
I have a Radeon Pro i50M with 4 gigabytes in this machine for some reason.
Yeah. They went on the Windows platform, so it wasn't just Mac. There was a whole range of laptops, a particular era where if you bought one, it was dodgy. It's the same thing where the VGA card was dead. I mean, it's the sort of thing that IMM Macs can probably fix for you nowadays. But
yeah.
Was that the big falling out between Apple and NVIDIA, where NVIDIA refused to do anything about it and they've been dead
and
to
that's why.
Yes. Nothing to do with us.
No, I think that was the point that Apple realized that they didn't want to be beholden to anyone else. It was just
They still are.
They're still with Radeon this time.
Yeah, but AMD is. I think AMD has been simply more reliable, like over
their
entire lifetime.
Do you think they're going to have Intel? Because Intel have brought out graphics cards, haven't they? They're not particularly powerful at the moment.
I mean, technically, what I'm like, if you're not using the Radeon, the second graphics card is usually the built-in Intel one.
Yeah, it will be on if it's an Intel processor. Yeah, you will have an Intel. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's an Intel GPU that sits on the CPU, doesn't it? Because it's all part of the same. It's all part of the i5 package or whatever it is.
Yep.
But the trend's away from that.
Yeah.
Intel have actually brought out.
Apple are never going to go back to being reliant on Intel. Intel are shitting themselves.
Yep.
Yeah, but they brought out a graphics card, haven't they? It's not very powerful at the moment. But if you look online, they've actually brought out a graphics card. I think
it's like a card version of their system on a chip graphics.
Yeah, it is at the moment, but so it's going to get better.
No, it's a Hail Mary, mate.
Uh-huh. The irisy things, that's bag of spanners. It's not very good for games anyway.
Tracy, are you drinking alcohol?
No.
There was glasses tinkling. There was ice tinkling there.
Yes, ice and Coke.
Oh, what? You've got to have some vodka in that, at least.
I'm not drinking alcohol, so.
Oh, you should.
Most I think he's strangling one of his new victims off camera.
Ian, have you posted a story?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, who's McAfee. Not posted a story? McAfee. Is there anyone?
You.
You, maybe?
No, I'm not posting one. Jesus, no, I don't do stories.
Well, that's, cool thing.
That's why I made it like a bring a story party, so I didn't have to do one. The only time I do one is there's only three of us. And then I'm forced to find out what the tech news is. The rest of the time, I'm sitting there going, really? this podcast and all the others is brought to you by tsohost.com. Look after TSO Host because they look after us, plain and simple. We've got a long-standing relationship with them. We're hoping that relationship's going to get stronger because if things go well for us over the product that me and Andy Vaughan have done together, then we're hoping that we can give a lot of business towards TSO Host. But they are brilliant. They've made sure for the last few years that we can do this podcast and post it out because the bandwidth that we consume, we couldn't afford to pay for, simple as that. So please, please, please get out on the socials and say thanks to at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. That's all you've got to do. It's dead simple. If you're part of the BTN army, then please make sure you do that. Please also support BTN by supporting Kyle because we pay him each month to do the podcast for the daily show, the news show every single day. He does that brilliantly. He's not doing it tomorrow because he's in a queue for 8 hours to get his COVID jab, his first one. So there won't be one tomorrow, but he will normally be doing it. Please donate to us via the website. If you go to subscriptions, you can donate $5, $10 or $20 and you will pay for Kyle to continue that service. If we don't get any support for that, then I'm afraid that podcast will just simply disappear. And we don't want to do that. We want to keep going. And thanks also to iMen Max. If you've got anything with an Apple logo on it, then they can repair it, plain and simple. Doesn't matter what age is. So if it's a legacy machine, then it's perfect for them to look at because they'll be able to sort you out. So go to at iMen Max. And if you use them, make sure you use the words BTN there because you'll get 5% off. And that'll be absolutely brilliant for you and brilliant for us because they know that you're listening to us. So superb. Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Patrice.
I hope I haven't picked that last week. I'm going to pick the new Loki TV show because it is really, really good.
Like, is it Loki?
Loki, L-O-K-K-I. No. Loki. the cast is awesome. We knew that. I mean, it's like...
Tom Hiddleston's good, and Batwing exactly. Gets really moist over him. So,
absolutely. No, it's... The cool thing is, it is very different than the other Marvel things. It's kind of quirky. It's kind of a bit Doctor Who-ish almost. I mean, there's time travel involved. But it's just, it's so well written. It is weird in a lot of places, which totally fits with the character because Loki is a weird character. And I really like that it's not yet another superhero movie. It's a TV show. It's not about superheroes running around doing stuff. It's a weird. It's about the characters and about a little bit time travel here and there. It's just, as I said, so far it's really good.
I think they've really messed up by not releasing Loki before they did the other two. Because you look at Wanda, that was just a crime against humanity. It was an awful piece of television. Then the Winter Soldier was like, good, it's back to thumping villains and taking names and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But eventually it did get boring. Yeah. And Loki's kind of hit that mix between the two, and they should have started with that. It would have set the bar higher.
And I think they realized that, and they literally just switched to a Wednesday release schedule. Like, all future shows will all start on a Wednesday instead of a Friday.
Yeah.
So I think they knew, or they had a feeling that this would be the highlight. Yeah,
good cool thing, mate. I totally agree. I think that's I think they've hit the mark with that. The other two are, well, to a certain degree, actually, you look back at the other two and go, they were really poor.
Mm-hmm. I said, I really like that Marvel is trying different things. Not everything is working, but they're trying different things.
Yeah, that's true.
They're trying to expand the universe, but also use it to their advantage. Like, not do something that is so completely out of everything that it just doesn't make any sense anymore.
Some of the shows are boring, though, aren't they?
Not everything is a winner.
Netflix and on Prime, you just go, like, I watch a couple of them and go, I'm just not interested in this.
I mean, WandaVision, I stuck with it to the end, and I really wish I hadn't. I should have binned it at episode one.
I loved WandaVision.
I really enjoyed it, but the beginning was very weird for me. Like,
you have to watch the first two or three before it actually before you realize what's going on the first time?
I watched all eight and thought you could have done this in one episode. You could have got up to episode eight in the first episode and then had something that was cool after that, but they didn't.
Oh, it's the M, it's the whole M saga, isn't it, from the Marvel comics? It's Wanda's breakdown effectively and the world around she tries to create to deal with her grief. I mean, it's incredibly sad.
Yeah, it is.
When you look at what's actually going on, it's incredibly sad. It's a good bit. It's a good and brave bit of sort of what was originally comic writing when it came out, of course, when they did that particular arc.
Yeah.
But yeah.
As I said, I think it was another experiment that probably it worked to some extent, but it wasn't fully working, I think.
But I think the problem is that they've tried to stay very true to the comics when a lot of us, me included, has not read the comics to that level. I understand the basic characters to a degree. I didn't know about Wanda until she actually entered into Age of Ultron. But I got all of the other characters because I was of an age where I looked at the Marvel Universe from the 70s onwards. And I missed it from the 90s onwards because I was too old to buy comics. I just, you know, it wasn't in my sphere of, I was about girls and beer at that point. And that's the trouble, is the fact that it's lost me, because now it's come back with the stuff that was actually true to the comic arc. But I'm looking at it going, that's not funny. That's not. That doesn't work for me. Whereas if I'd been stuck with the genre, then I would have appreciated it more.
No, that's the cool thing about Loki. There, I mean, I don't know whether there are any comic books about that. I no clue.
See, I never. I looked at Thor and I saw Thor in the comic books. I never saw Loki in them particularly. Yeah. So that's again. But Loki's such a strong character, and Hiddleston's such a good actor that he's brought it back. Yeah, good pick, mate. Muller, your pick.
Oh, Clarkson's Farm.
Seconded.
All right.
Absolutely seconded.
I you lot started talking about in the Slack room. I kept meaning to watch it. And then when you lot said it was good, I think I've got four or five episodes in and I'm absolutely wetting myself. I mean, he's kind of taking it seriously, but is he? I don't know, but it's brilliant. And it's well worth a watch. Over to you.
Yeah. I must have. I'm going to have a look at this because trouble is with him. He is a moneyed schoolboy, and that, in some ways, always seems to rub me up the wrong way. In some way, with him.
Oh, it's great, mate. I'll tell you what. Some of the things he gets up to, some of the things he does, and I know it's staged, some of it, and he gets told off by a 21-year-old farmer, Caleb, yeah, and he goes like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, he's telling me off again." And it, twat.
No, it is. I mean, the thing is, it's like if you look at the Top Gear stuff, it kind of started at the caravan episode where they demeaned caravanning and then they burnt the caravan and all that kind of stuff. And it was all staged. You knew at that point, it's like, okay, you've got into pantomime now at this point. Yeah. But okay, I'll carry on watching because it is actually quite funny. And this has gone into, it started at pantomime, but
it's gone good.
He really has lost the farmer that he had to retirement. So therefore he needed to keep it going. So therefore he decided to take it on himself. It is a genius TV show. It is brilliantly done.
It is, yeah. It really is funny.
I have to say, you are so right about that being the moment Top Gear went too far.
Yeah.
It was exactly that episode
when you realized that was staged and it had become a pantomime, but actually it was a very funny pantomime, and the Grand Tour was an equally funny pantomime that took stuff on to the nth degree, but it just was what it was. But this is exactly the same. It's in the ilk of that pantomime, but it's actually a bloke who's genuinely pulling his hair out at the fact that he's got to maintain a farm that he knows nothing about. And when you get to the sheeping episode, that's where you kind of realize he's doing it for real, because you know he's genuinely cut up at the stillbirths and stuff like that. He's not a hardened farmer in the slightest.
When he has to take those three to the knacker's yard to get
the sheep. Let's not spoil it, but if you haven't watched it, it's enlightening. And it tells you an awful lot about farming, even if you just don't like general farms.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the paperwork they have to do is absolutely annoying.
I'm with Bart Beach. He's really annoying.
Oh, Clarkson's a twat. I'm literally looking at the house where a guy called Mark Silk lived. He started the Big Show with me in 2008. And it was just the two of us. It was audio only. And we recorded the first one up in his loft. He lived opposite. He was the voice of Johnny Bravo. He was Slugsy and Bumble in Fifi and the Flower Tots. He's a big voiceover artist. And he met Clarkson and he said he's a lovely little bloke. He's nothing like his personal appearance. He does things to provoke a reaction, but actually in person he was brilliant. He was a lovely guy. But yeah, on the TV he's an annoying twat. Totally get that. Gibbons, Billy Gibbons, brother, it's your cool thing, mate. Atlee, that's you, mate.
Atlee. Yeah, I know. I also posted a clip of a video that I made with it, but I got a new drone recently and it's absolutely brilliant. It handles all sorts of great hyperlapse. You can set it to hyperlapse photos around it. Like you can set it a path to move through a hyperlapse and it'll do that path through the period of time you set for the hyperlapse. I just did a fairly simple hyperlapse with one of the sunsets near my house.
How fast was that? How long did that video take to make?
About
that's hovering.
About 40 minutes, yeah.
So that hovered for 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was taking 3 photos per second and it was just under 1,100 photos.
Gee, so that's brilliant. That's a DJI Air 2S.
Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic drone. It's absolutely beautiful. I took it right to the last like 2 minutes of battery life, though. And it was back down. But yeah, but it was absolutely beautiful. The settings on it, they've improved the controller. They've improved the settings. It's just an absolutely beautiful camera on it.
Patrice has shared this, so this may work, it may not.
Yeah.
Based on previous.
Nope. Get it off before the garbage shows up.
No, that's lovely, mate. That is really good.
Yeah.
What's the cost of that?
That one is $1,000 US.
Okay.
But they have a lot of, like DJI has a lot of different models. I have also the Mini, which is, I think, only a few $100 US.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of the same things. It doesn't do the intricate, like some of the stuff that I can do with it, the programming that they've got in the app to set the drone to do different things. It's not as intricate with the Mini, but it's definitely a great starter drone to get up and do some really interesting things.
No, cool. Yeah, I've got the Mavic Mini 2. I use that commercially and it's brilliant. It's super.
Yeah,
they've changed the regulations in the UK, so because it's under 249 grams, 250 grams, I get to use.
Well, and that's one of the things a lot of people are doing, that they're switching to the smaller ones because they get to do more with them. Yeah. They can go up higher. They can put them in places you can't put the larger drones.
Yeah. Excellent pick, mate. Mr. Grant, your pick is Vivaldi. Tell us.
Yes, Vivaldi web browser. Chrome, somewhere deep down under skin, but it's developed by the guys who developed Opera, the first tab browser. And it's a really, really good, if you want to get away from Google, you're not quite keen on Edge and you want something that's a little bit different, I can really recommend it. There's some lovely features in it. Things like you can have a series, if you've got a nice big monitor with one browser window, you can have two side-by-side web pages, three side-by-side web pages. So if you're copying data between things or you want to look up updates on one while doing stuff on another, you can do all that within the browser without an additional plugin. It's not going to spawn milli windows. I tried a thing on Chrome that just did that with many windows. It's really cool. It's like lightning on my Mac. It's just a really nice web browser. And the other thing which is kind of a twofer almost here, is a little utility I added from my SetApp sub again, which is a thing called OpenIn. And it's a simple little plugin that sits in macOS that when I click on something, it'll ask me, what browser do you want to use for that? So I can open certain things I want to open in Safari, certain things I want to open in Vivaldi or Firefox.
I like that.
So that's quite excellent. A neat idea.
Bob, good opening. Correctly conjugates the question about où sont les links. If you scroll up, they're all in there, mate.
Vivaldi.com.
Yeah, that's because you buggered off because you've got everything in the world, Bob. That's why. You know everything. But they are all in there. If you go to britishnetwork.com/chat, you'll find them, buddy. All right. Mm-hmm. Rich, what's your cool thing, mate?
Well, I have been on a quest, right? This has been a painful quest that I'll share with you. So I have an iPhone like many people, and I like to keep that iPhone in a case. And I started off with a clear one that goes yellow, because apparently all the clear ones go yellow.
Eventually, yeah, it's a fixer.
Which is annoying. And so I moved on to this one, which is a nice little silicon-backed thing. And that turned out to be sticky, right? It's too silicon.
It gets all the lint out your pocket, yeah.
It gets, if you can get it in your pocket, because it wants to grab onto that material, you can't put it anywhere. It sticks to everything, and it's annoying. So that one...
You do realize that's actually God telling you that you're too old to wear skin-tight jeans.
I think that might also be a thing.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I'll try something crazy. I'm going to go folio case.
Oh, right? I've never done this before. You're 60 years old, because I don't have a folio case.
That lasted an afternoon. Oh, my God, how do people live like this? Like,
did you actually put a credit card in it?
No, I didn't put a single card in it. But okay. Do you know what? I was attracted by the sort of the stand function of it.
Oh,
That bit of it was... That was
so
good.
He is 60 years old. He's actually 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 60 and then years old and wears an anorak. Jesus.
You can't put it in the car holder either. It's just awful. So
that's the least of your worries, dude.
So here's where I am right now. Clear stand, but clear case, but it has a kickstand on the back. So now I have all the benefit of what I liked about the folio case, but with none of the old personness that goes with it.
And it's not yellow.
So will the whole thing go gray or yellow?
It might go yellow eventually. I don't know. But it's been very handy actually having a kickstand on the back of my phone. And to say this is like a $17.99 case, it's a better kickstand than on the back of the damn Nintendo Switch. I'll tell you that.
Bob Beach has said nothing wrong with 60-year-olds.
There's nothing wrong with 60-year-olds.
There's nothing wrong with 60-year-olds. And it's when you're only 40. You're acting like 60. There's a problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's where my problem is. So
that's when you make 60, you're going to be acting like you're 80.
Yeah.
In an anorak.
That which makes it so much worse. So yeah, my cool thing is phone cases that are otherwise small but have kickstands on the back.
That's very generic, dude.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you a link to this one, but it's like link to generic phone case on Amazon with Chinese company name made by 17 other companies.
Yeah, so. there's no shortage of cases on Amazon.
Yeah, if you want to find an iPhone case on Amazon, you don't need a link from me.
Right. My cool thing needs my camera to come from here because I'm in the van. And my cool thing is... a Dell monitor here. I can't get that to show up. That's the trouble because it's focusing on the screen. But that is a 24-inch Dell monitor next to my 25-inch curved monitor that I bought the other week. I got this on Prime Day and it is absolutely gorgeous. 75 hertz refresh rate, 1920 by 1080, absolute, and two HDMIs going in and a 3-year warranty automatically. It is absolutely stunning. What brand was it again? It's a Dell monitor.
Oh, it's
and
a Dell.
The thing
okay.
that's nice, I've not bought a Dell for a very long time. I mean, a very, very long time. The thing that was nice about it was that actually the mounting system for it is extremely simple. It clips together and it's caught on the bottom. You know, you're always looking around going, oh, hang on, I haven't got an Allen key, or hang on, I need a crosshead screwdriver. This has got an actual, you know, the. Do you remember the little screws that you used to get that had the little ring that you flipped up so that you could use that to turn it and then it flipped back down flat again? That's the way that the monitor stand connects on the back. It's frigging great. Absolutely beautiful. It is currently out of stock, but it will be back, I'm sure. The price that's listed there was £120, but I only paid £95 for it.
That's good. That's really good for 24.
That's nice, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. It's beautiful. And my little home office now that's in the Mobile Operation Command Unit Centre is superb. I absolutely adore being in here. I'd rather be in here than go down the office. It's a pain in the arse at the moment. So. Parking is unbearable. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
Well, every week here on The Big Show and also Fridays on The Mac Show. So tomorrow with Jeff. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I just posted a new episode with David and...
Yeah, Chicago, really nice tour of food.
Absolute nice tour of food in Chicago. Like, yeah. I mean, he should do it like you could probably do a TV show with him. Like
my only experience of Chicago is O'Hare Airport, where I landed before I then got a flight to Detroit. And they went, there was 2,000 people trying to get through immigration, and they'd only got half of the desks open. Oh. I said to the guy, why have you only got half the desks open? He went, they're all on training. I went,
That's pretty normal.
Training, yeah.
Yeah, I've had that in Denver.
Bob Beach says, I've got Dell monitors and they're all good. I've had quite a few. Excellent. Stephen Lowe, aka Muller. Where can we get you?
Muller Biker on Twitter, although, to be honest with you, it's a pile of poo there now these days, so I rarely look at it that much. But in the Slack room and on Facebook sometimes, a lot of times, but I only post jokes there.
Okay. Atlee, where would you be?
You can reach me online at atleehunter.com or on the socials at atleehunter and down here.
I think he's in a cell. You know, they put a green screen in his cell.
They finally caught up with the Dexter of the North. Mr. Grant, where would you be?
I will be here every week on The Big Show and otherwise, and I might even be on this window show when eventually it turns up. Otherwise, you can find me on LinkedIn as Ian Grant, fixing convolts somewhere. I'll be in the Slack room every now and again. Usual things. Still miss to turn it off and back on again.
The window show's been going for 3 years, or at least the promise of it has been going for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've promised to be on it every time.
Yeah. Fancy, start it yourself. Come on.
Oh, Atlee's changed his name tag.
Oh, that's good.
I've been nice.
It took him long enough to figure that out.
No. I only figured it out because Bob Beach told me. Which clearly means I am a twat. Rich, where would you be, buddy?
You can find me at earlymorningbarking.com or at barking on Twitter or on the YouTube channel, Early Morning Barking.
Good man. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You follow the network at British Tech. Don't forget to support Carl, please. He does the daily show, the new show. You can get that on the website, BritishTechNetwork.com, every single day, 9 a.m. in your feeds, but not tomorrow. But please support him because I don't want to lose that show. It's an absolute specialty, and it's where we started in 2008. I did the first one on the 6th of July 2008. It's well worth keeping. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. It's Muller waving frantically like an absent person.
Nuts.
Fine example of care in the community.